you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Wow, what a huge weekend. There are just so many big things going on this weekend. It's actually kind of hard to know where to start. Well, of course, we should start with the high holy days. It is Palm Sunday weekend, after all. And we'll talk about that quite a bit more later on. In fact, part of that is the topic for today's installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Palm Sunday eating restrictions. Well, you know, technically, it's still Lent. But we'll get into that more as the show goes on. This weekend really does feature a lot of other things to talk about, too. And you know me, I like to talk about them all. We don't restrict ourselves to talking about cooking exclusively on this show, even if it is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Well, for one, the NBA playoffs begin today, and the Rockets are in pretty good shape as far as I can tell. Yeah, they did drop to fourth in the seeding. That last-second shot by Paul George was a backbreaker. But the Rockets have won 8 out of their last 10, 16 out of their last 20. And I'll admit, a lot of those teams were not really playoff caliber, but that's batting 800 in baseball terms. And if they can win just 2 out of every 3 in the playoffs, they'll win the whole thing. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they are just blowtorch hot right now. And if they keep playing at this level in the postseason, anything's possible. And as much as I loved the way the Astros manhandled the Athletics and the Yankees last week, it's still too early to get worked up over baseball too much. But the Rockets, now the Rockets stand on the cusp of doing something very special if they can keep playing at this level and if they stay healthy. Staying healthy is going to be a big part of it. I'm sure you remember how they faded last year when Chris Paul had that hamstring injury. But we'll talk more about sports with Fred, my old buddy Fred Olson from our days together on the Hudson and Harrigan show. I don't mean to harp on H&H too much. As a matter of fact, I even got one email complaint about that this past week. But sorry, Hudson and Harrigan was just too big a part of my life, so you're just going to have to accept the fact I'm going to talk about it from time to time. But enough about that and the NBA playoffs, because there really are several other important things to talk about this weekend. And one of them is the return of Game of Thrones and the conclusion of Game of Thrones, because, of course, this is the final season. A lot of loose ends to tie up in this story. I'm a huge fan. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. As I understand it, there are only 6 shows in this final season, but all 6 of them are going to be like feature-length movies, you know, about an hour and a half or more. So there's going to be a lot to digest in only 6 episodes. Now, if you've followed Game of Thrones, even casually, you already know any character is eligible to die at any given moment on this show. And proof of that dates all the way back to when Ned Stark got beheaded at the end of season 1. As a matter of fact, I even remember turning to my wife and saying, "No way he's going to die. His character's too important." Wrong. And with each ensuing season, we've seen that dynamic play out with a lot of other characters. The list is just way too long to name them all, so I won't even try. But I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if several of the main characters get killed before we finally find out who sits on the Iron Throne. As Cersei Lannister herself said so eloquently, in the Game of Thrones, you either win or you die. Of course, the wild card in this whole show is who's left to fight for the Iron Throne after the humans defeat the Night King? Or does the Night King win and transform himself back into a human being? You know, who the children of the forest stabbed in the heart with the dragon glass that made him the Night King in the first place? Maybe the Night King sits on the Iron Throne. George R. R. Martin, the author, he just seems to enjoy frustrating us, doesn't he? I mean, no happy endings on the Game of Thrones. There are just so many different directions this storyline can go that it almost seems useless to try to predict how it ends. But that simply creates more speculation, and that's what makes it all so much fun. And I know, some people think the violence and the nudity and the sex are too much, especially the incest stuff. I don't like it either. But I think that's what makes this show so compelling. I mean, let's face it. Life is not neat and tidy. Life is violent and raw. So Game of Thrones is nothing more than real life without any filters. And I can't wait. Then, completely on the other side of the coin, we have the most important thing that's happening this weekend, Palm Sunday. I've told you I teach Bible to teenagers, and I think Palm Sunday often gets overlooked among the more prominent high holy days like Easter and Good Friday, even Maundy Thursday. But if you view it in its proper perspective, you'll start to realize Palm Sunday is almost as important as Easter itself. Well, maybe that's a bit hyperbolic. After all, I mean, no day really compares to Resurrection Day, since that's the centerpiece of our entire faith. Without Resurrection Day, there would be no Christian faith at all, right? But the same thing could be said for Good Friday, because without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. And so Good Friday is crucially important to Christianity too. However, so is Maundy Thursday, when Jesus used the Jewish Passover feast to introduce the Lord's Supper, or communion, whatever you want to call it. And why is that so important, you ask? Well, because when he used the bread and wine to symbolize his death, Jesus was once again proving he was God in the flesh. He correctly predicted his death and resurrection. Who else but God himself could do that? So if you backtrack just a few more days, you'll find Palm Sunday actually launched Holy Week. It contrasted Jesus being hailed as the Messiah, you know, when he entered Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, but then just a few days later, he was arrested, tortured publicly, and executed. The ironic dichotomy of all of those events stands as a testimony to the grace of Jesus, the grace by which we are saved, the gift of grace that requires nothing in return other than our willingness to accept it. You know, that's what separates Christianity from every other religion on the planet. And the simplicity, the poignancy of it all is absolutely stunning on its surface. I'm humbled by it. And Palm Sunday is at the root of it all. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, Resurrection Day, they're all irrefutably intertwined. None of them could exist without the others being in their proper place. It was all part of God's plan, and the launching pad for the whole story was Palm Sunday. And as I said at the beginning of the segment, part of Palm Sunday is going to be the topic for today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Palm Sunday takes place right smack dab in the middle of Lent, when so many Christians observe traditions like fasting and abstinence. What do you know? Old Randy finally worked his way back around to food, didn't he? Or maybe just lack of food? If we're talking about fasting, that could include a complete lack of food, or maybe just certain kinds of foods, like meat, for instance. And that impacts what dishes we serve for Palm Sunday dinner, doesn't it? You know, Catholics have long taken the flesh of mammals and fowl, or birds, out of their diets on Good Friday, or even for all of Lent. But I'm a lifelong Southern Baptist, and I've never adhered to Lent. As a matter of fact, I've never taken anything out of my diet. As a Southern Baptist, I was always taught, the only thing you need to take out of your diet is alcohol. And I've already done that. But Catholics aren't the only Christians who follow the rites of Lent. So there are lots of people out there who have taken vows of abstinence for lots of different kinds of foods. And a lot of them might be served for Palm Sunday dinner. So we need to plan ahead, don't we? And I did a lot of research on Lent. There are some people out there who believe that Palm Sunday should be a day when you're released from those vows of abstinence. Now, not everybody agrees with that interpretation, so I have to say that right up front. However, they do agree there are lots of other things you could give up for Lent besides food, like anger, slander, lust, gluttony. How about alcohol? Is it just me, or are all of those things on Game of Thrones? But let's be clear, talk is not one of them, at least not on this show. Because this weekend, there are just so many big things going on. And you know me, I like to talk about them all.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Please Please welcome back our dear friend, Ron Brandani. He owns and operates both Brandani's restaurants. That would be Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar and Brandani's Burgers, Tacos, and Brews, located, what, almost right next door to one another in the township in Missouri City. How you doing, Ron?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Randy.
It's always a pleasure. Introducing you has become quite a bit lengthier since you've opened up this second location with the Brandani name on it. But every time I come to see you, both places are really busy, so you must be doing something right. Congratulations.
Hey, Randy, I've been busy. I've been real busy.
Well, that's good news. That's good news. However, before we get too far into that part of the interview, let's take a minute to have you give our audience your background. Even though you've been on the show several times and you've told us all this stuff before, fill us in on where you were born, reared, and where you went to school.
Well, I grew up in, I was born actually in Weslaco, Texas, grew up between Galveston and Texas City area and went to Ball High, you know, and just been in the restaurant business all my life. Started at that little seafood restaurant called Tuffy's when I was 14. I may have fudged on my application and told them I was 15, but no one's counting that anymore. But worked at the Galveston Country Club and that really kind of started my restaurant business, and moved to Houston area in 91. Never really, you know, I did any chef training or anything like that, or restaurant training other than just hard knocks. You know, I worked for a Danish chef for a little while, running his catering business, and he was a traditionally trained chef and probably one of the most unbelievable chefs I've ever worked with. And I worked with some great people, but then worked with the Carrabba's family for over on and off for 15 years, ran Pesce. Went downtown to the Hotel Icon, and that was a bank restaurant. It was a John George restaurant. So I got up to New York and worked at all his restaurants for a day, which was phenomenal. Probably one of the best meals I've ever had in my life was at 11 o'clock in the morning at Nougatine, which is right next door to the John George restaurant, the Trump Tower. And 14 courses, and
wow.
Just blew my mind. Didn't have any wine with it. That was the only disappointing thing about him. But nevertheless, just a fantastic experience to work with John George. And he used to come down 3 times a year, and we'd change the menu up. And I tell you, before I left there, and they were getting ready to sell the hotel, so I kind of got out of that. And before he left, I thought that menu was probably pound for pound best menu in Houston, but went back to Carrabba's and worked with that family, and then was a managing partner towards the end there. Worked for 9 more years there, and one day a friend of mine called me and wanted to sell his restaurant, and it was the middle of Christmas, and I was just like, man, I'm way too busy. That was back when, you know, Carrabba's had just opened their new location, and it was 320 seats, just busy as you can be, and so I was like, can I call you after the holidays, you know, and then another friend of mine, Charles Clark, called me. He owns Ibiza and Brasserie 19 and everything. He called me up and said, Ron, if you don't do this, I don't ever want to hear you talk about opening a restaurant again. So it was kind of one of those moments, you know. There's a phrase out there that I'm not going to say on radio, but it was either do it or stop talking about it.
Yeah. And we should also take note that Ron didn't build this restaurant empire all by himself.
No.
His wife, Claire, has been as instrumental in the success of both Brandani's locations as has Ron. And she has a history of food preparation industry, too. So give us those details. Where did Claire work?
She's been in the business as long as I have, and she started at the Swinging Door out there in Richmond Rosenberg, but went on to end up working at Brennan's for quite some time and Carrabba's for a little bit. And that's how I met her, actually. She was a manager at Pesce, and I was a manager at Carrabba's. And she ended up working for the Pappas in the corporate office. And for a mom and pop restaurant, it may be a little bit better than that, right? So we kind of have a 1-2 punch, and she does an amazing job on just keeping me organized and keeping the restaurants organized, and I can concentrate on food and, you know, upcoming events and wine dinners and changing the menu and stuff like that. So it's you know, I do things that she doesn't want to do, and she does things that I don't want to do. So it's we have a, she's amazing. So
let me ask you this, Ron, is it been more work than you expected opening up your own restaurant?
You know, I get that question a lot, Randy, and if you kind of walk through my shoes in life, the answer would be no. I work 78-hour weeks for other people, and obviously you don't get the recognition or the pay or anything, you know, all the above for that. It's just a, you know, put your head down and grind type situation. And it's, you know, when you're doing what you love, it's not hard work at all. I mean, you've heard that. It's a cliche, but it really is true. I mean, we've both been blessed with a great staff. And, you know, one of the things I always tell people about is, you know, all the staff that have worked for me in the past that have searched me out and come to work for me now, it's, you know, I just knock on wood, because, I mean, I wouldn't know that being that good to people back then would make me successful today. But, you know, I think people need to realize, you know, think about your future and how you're talking to people and how you treat people. And we've got a lot of great people here, so I can't do it alone.
Let's point out one thing. One of the best menu items at Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar is the cold smoke burgers, and you know how much we love them. But that popularity of that dish encouraged you to open that second location just a couple of doors down. Talk about that for a minute.
It's been great. It's a, you know, it's more of a counter service, fast service type restaurant, and we do burgers and tacos and some really fun kind of chef-driven burgers and tacos. And one of my favorite things we do over there, we do a bacon and brie burger, and it's got candied bacon, which we're kind of famous for over here, but we do candied jalapenos, candied bacon, it's got brie, and it's got our Akiyoshi patty that's a Flatonia, Texas, you know, no hormones, no antibiotics. It's just a great piece of meat in general, but then you add, you know, arugula, and it doesn't have like a traditional like mayonnaise mustard on it. It's got a little bit of vinaigrette on it, and it just, the acid with the fat of the meat, it's just such a well-balanced burger that, you know, those are the fun things I'm doing over there that set me apart from, I think, most burger restaurants.
So the burgers at your new location, are they prepared the same way the cold smoke burgers are cooked at your original location?
No, we don't cold smoke over there. I mean, it's, you know, that's a tough thing to do for the masses, you know, and it's thousands of burgers, so that's a time and temperature thing that you got to be real careful with, and so I originally wanted to do that, but I don't have the technology right now. So if I can get the technology to do it for a mass scale, I'll figure it out and find some space, I'll do it. But right now, no. It's just, you know, we're doing some fun things with burgers instead of, you know, toppings and stuff like that. So,
well, talk about the tacos. What can we expect in the tacos?
Well, you know, me growing up in Galveston, Texas City area, I'm a big fisherman. So fish tacos, you know, I'm getting, you know, fresh Gulf fish in. So, and it can change. You know, I've had flounder, grouper, black drum, mahi, and it's just really whatever I can get in fresh at the time. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I buy fish 3-4 times a week, and the shrimp is, they're all Gulf shrimp, and soft shell crab season's starting up, so we're gonna probably do some soft shell crab tacos as well. And I'm just, it, the tacos, I'm having a lot of fun with tacos because there's so many different things you can do. Because it doesn't have a burger patty on it,
right,
you know.
So, exactly.
So I got a halloum taco, which is it's a cheese, but it's kind of like a cheese curd almost. Where I grill that and a little bit of arugula, avocado, and mango relish, and again, it's just one of those bites that everything works together. And even if you're not a vegetarian, it's a pretty special taco.
And they've got all kinds of different beers as well, that hence the name Brews. So I knew this was going to happen, Ron. We've spent an entire segment talking about your growing restaurant empire, and we haven't even broached the subject of today's edition for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Can you stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back with Ron Brandani, who owns half of Fort Bend County by now.
And two I'm still paying it off.
And two fabulous restaurants located in the township on Murphy Road in Missouri City. Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. And then just almost right next door is Brandani's Burgers, Tacos, and Brews. Now, you got multiple eateries now, Ron, and we're sure you're busier than a than a blind dog in a meat market. So we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on the Boyd Seafood Outlook.
My pleasure.
Today's topic is Palm Sunday eating restrictions. And I know it's considered rude to ask about a person's politics or religion, but I think you and I are good enough friends by now that it's safe for me to ask. Did you grow up going to church on Sundays?
I did. We went to Church of Christ, and, you know, my wife and I got married in a Catholic church. She's Catholic.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you observe Lent, or did she observe Lent?
Oh, we didn't in our family, but yeah, she definitely didn't. Yeah, it's, Claire's like, well, we open for Easter, and she's like, you can't open for Easter. That's my mom's Super Bowl. You know, she's you know, Easter's a pretty big day around the Casey family, and it's her parents. So,
well, do you remember if she's ever said anything about what she gave up for Lent?
You know, the usuals, you know, the chocolate and the, you know, the meat and, you know, what have you. But, you know, we don't really go through those conversations too much. We're in the food business.
Don't feel bad here, Ron, because I'm a lifelong Southern Baptist. I never even knew what Lent was until I went to college. I thought Lent was something you brushed off your shirt sleeve, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I remember, seeing the first person with ash on their forehead, I was like, what is that?
So, you got dirt on your head, dude.
Yeah.
But as a restaurateur, do you notice an uptick in the amount of, say, seafood that you sell during Lent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, you know, here we probably sell more fish than anything. I mean, we get in, you know, snapper, and like this weekend I'm doing some yellow edge grouper, and you know, it's just it's a norm already, but you know, during this time of year, it's, you see a lot more of the crab cakes, and you know, it's just more seafood heavy.
What about salads? Do people eat more salads during Lent?
Yeah, I mean, you see a little bit of that. I think you see that more at the beginning of the year when everybody's kind of made their New Year's resolution, because it's kind of embodies everyone, but it's more seafood this time of year.
Well, by extension, after Lent, do you see more people come in and eat more beef and more chicken and more pork?
Absolutely. It's like they pulled a trigger, you know?
Exactly. We're free.
Yeah.
Well, seafood seems to be the most common substitute that adherents turn to during Lent. And as you said, fish dishes are a specialty at Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. So tell us some of the things that you offer there.
Well, you know, this just happens to be a great time of year, because, I mean, I get most of my seafood from the Gulf, but right now it's Alaskan halibut season, and so that we've done some nice fish specials with halibut, and like this weekend we're doing the yellow edge grouper. You know, we do it with jumbo crab meat, maitake mushrooms, it's got asparagus, and we do a little beurre blanc, and we do that over caramelized Brussels sprouts, and it's probably one of our most popular dishes here. But the squash blossoms we do stuff with our crab meat, and we do a Moretti beer batter on that. Is just, it's a lighter appetizer. It's a true appetizer.
And it is absolutely delicious. Now, shellfish is a staple for a lot of Lent alternatives, but it's also widely available here on the Upper Texas Gulf Coast. So what kind of dishes do you offer at Brandani's that include, say, shrimp and crab and that kind of stuff?
Sure. You know, I mean, we do our gemelli pasta that we do. It's a corkscrew pasta we do with, it's basically a basil cream with roasted corn and jumbo-lump crab meat. And we get the best crab meat you can get in. We get the jumbo-lump, and it's Gulf crab meat. And that definitely is something that's one of the more popular items on our menu. But our crab cake, I think I'd put our crab cake against just about anybody, but we go through probably about 50 pounds of crab a week, and we're open 5 days a week, so that's a lot of crab.
Yeah, it sure is. And there are other types of meat too, like frog legs, but though I'm a TCU alum, I don't eat frogs. I cheer for them, but I've never seen frog legs on the menu at Brandani's. Have you ever tried to cook frog legs, Ron?
I absolutely love frog legs. I haven't really done anything here with frog legs. I know garlic soup with frog legs is probably one of the most French dishes you could do. And matter of fact, John George, I used to work for, had that on his menu, and it was unbelievable. But I just hadn't really messed with it too much here.
And another amphibian that a lot of people enjoy during Lent is, believe it or not, alligator. Have you ever prepared or served gator meat in any of the restaurants?
No, I haven't. I'm leaving that to the Cajuns. I like alligator, but I'll tell you, it can be tough as nails if you don't do it right. And I'll stick to what the gators eat. I'm going to do some crawfish and fish and stuff like that. I've got, over at the burger restaurant, I'm doing this buffalo crawfish taco. So it's cornmeal crusted crawfish is tossed with a little buffalo sauce. And I'm getting these fresh tails in that are just unbelievable. So it's a great time of year to eat seafood.
Well, while researching for this show, I actually did find some people who mentioned other amphibians and even some reptiles. Now, I tried rattlesnake meat at Johnny Clevenhagen's Wild Game Cook-Off many years ago, but that's all the snake meat I ever want to eat in my lifetime. Thank you very much. But there are other exotics. What have you encountered over the years in working in the food service industry in exotic meats?
I've played around with ostrich, and that's it's almost like filet mignon. It's real tender. It's real low fat content, and cook it medium rare. And I actually love venison, so we get some red mule deer in from New Zealand that's just fantastic, as well as some elk. But as far as seafood, I've done some octopus, and I don't know if that's exotic, but I like it.
Sounds pretty exotic to me. And we can't overlook people who choose to go full-bore vegetarian during Lent.
Oh, yeah.
And your new location, Brandani's Burgers, Tacos, and Brews, you feature a veggie taco that you let my wife Cindy and me sample the last time we were there. Tell us how you make that.
Yeah, that's the Halloum taco, and it's just, it's that... It's basically a grilled halloumi cheese and avocado with the arugula, and it's got a vinaigrette on it with a mango relish, and it's got these little calabrese peppers on it, which give it a little spice and just a lot of flavor without having meat in it. And, you know, we just brought in the Impossible Burger patty as well, which is 100% vegetarian, and it's just actually 100% vegan, and it's amazing how much that meat or that plant, because it's a plant-based deal, it really kind of mimics what meat tastes like, and it actually has beet juice in it, and when you cook it, it kind of bleeds a little bit because of the beet juice. So
wow.
very, very good stuff. But we want to have something, you know, for everyone. We also want to make sure it tastes great too. And it's fantastic.
We've been visiting with Ron Brandani. He now owns two wonderful restaurants, both located in the township on Murphy Road in Missouri City. We can hear everybody moving the tables around, getting ready to start business, but give us the websites for each one, Ron.
Brandani's.com. We'll actually get you to both of them. So you'll just go in there, and then you can link to the burger restaurant as well. And both of our menus are up, and we've got lunch over at Brandani's. It's just really gotten popular. It's a $15 lunch special, three courses. But check us out. We've got some wine dinners coming up, and just a good time of year.
Days and hours. When are you open?
I'm open 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, and the burger restaurant open 11 to 9 Tuesday through Saturday, and we don't close in the middle, and then the restaurant wine bar, we do close between 2 and 5 just because we're prepping during that period, and there's not a lot of space over there.
Give our best to Claire and the boys, and promise me that you won't put frog legs on the menu anytime soon, okay?
They're not jumping over here yet.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way.
At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaw's.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
It's time for my Fred Fix. My old buddy from the Hudson Harrigan Show, Fred Olson, joins us now. How you doing, pal?
I am doing finer than a frog hair split four ways.
Well, I missed you last week. We talked to Lance Wells. He's the grill doctor for all three segments. And the amount of information that man gave us was absolutely mind-boggling. I haven't taken that many notes since Algebra 101, my sophomore year at TCU. And when we originally talked about cleaning outdoor cookers, you mentioned that you had one in particular that needed to almost be disinfected. Have you done that yet?
Well, it isn't so much disinfected. I just had to take it apart. And as far as this year, no, I mean, I did it last year. I kind of really disemboweled it and bought new pieces, put it back together. And so far, it's been really, really pretty darn good. So I got no qualms with it at this point. But you got to take care of them, otherwise they'll rust out and they'll eat them. And then one day when you got a big party, you go to get it all fired up, and there's nothing. Or it's real one weird flame coming out from somewhere. And you're trying to do five or six steaks on it, and then it doesn't work.
Luckily, I only have one outdoor cooker, and I've already done it for this year. Nearly lost a finger in the process. Gloves, Randy. You told me, Fred, gloves.
Gloves, yes.
And when we're talking about gloves, are you excited about baseball gloves? Astros are back. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, you know, I love it because we're sitting at a get-together last night, and you can always tell the Astros fans because they have their phone sitting next to them, and they'll tap it occasionally, even though it's in the middle of conversation. I'll look up there and go, no, we're down 3-1. I said, they're going to win. They're going to win either 4-3 or 5-4. And they did. And because you never count these guys out. They're fun. They make baseball fun.
Yeah, they really do. But I think they're going to miss Charlie Morton in the starting rotation. But they got a lot of promising young arms, so I think they'll be all right at pitcher. But the bats just haven't been very consistent lately. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah. You bring this up. I remember back when they went to the American League and we're all hanging our heads going, what the heck have they done?
Yeah.
It was horrible. When Crane got him, we went, what are they doing? They're not spending any money. They're tanking this. They're just horrible. What's going to happen now? And now look, through Moneyball, or there's a book called, is it Astro Ball?
I don't know.
I think so. Written about how they got to this series. A buddy was telling me about it last night. He's a huge fan. I think Astro Ball, something about the Astros and how they won the World Series and the steps it took to do that.
And everybody's trying to do that now.
Well, yeah, but they need Altuve and Stringer. And I mean, you need all these guys who are just amazing.
Yeah. And the Rockets have been torching everybody, except the Warriors, of course. You know, I think if they don't give James Harden MVP, they ought to just stop handing out the award.
I just love looking at him. You know, whenever he's on screen, he's the guy you look at. He's one of those actors that if they walked out, you'd go, what's that guy going to do? You know, he just has that look about him. And I'm excited about football. Of course, the draft is coming up.
Well, who do you think they draft? I mean, I'd like to see him take Greedy Williams, that cornerback out of LSU.
As number one?
But I know there's lots of other areas that they need to fill, too.
Yeah, offensive line. How about left guard? There's some good guards. I don't know if Reisner's going to fall to us or who's the other? Cody Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of these guys, and I saw a name yesterday. It was, it was a guy out of Washington.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either.
Oh, yeah. I even looked him up and watched a little tape on him, and he's just 6'7" and a half.
Yeah.
The big kid. Of course, most all those guys are like anywhere from 6'5" to 6'6" and a half. So it'll be fun to see who they take. Do they trade up to get a better? We got to protect Deshaun, number one.
Yep.
We do need some cornerbacks, and it's, yeah, Greedy Williams would be great to have. If I had my wish list, I'd go,
Yeah.
And
problem is, our list is too long. And this weekend also marks the return of Game of Thrones. So how do you think this is all going to turn out? Who's going to sit on the Iron Throne?
I think Daenerys is. I saw an interview with her. It was on
Emilia Clarke?
Good Morning, whatever. Good Morning, Y'all, or something the other day.
Right. Yeah.
And just interesting woman. She's gone through a lot of brain issues, a lot of medical issues.
I didn't know that.
And she had never really done much before she auditioned for that part. And she walked in, and she's it, you know, she's the one. And I didn't really know all the stuff behind the scenes, but I don't have HBO, so I'll have to buy it for the season.
Well, I will tell you this. Several people who have inside information have said about the ending of the show,
yeah,
I never saw it coming. So I don't think that it's going to be predictable. Whatever happens is going to be something out of the ordinary. And I'll say this. Arya is going to kill Cersei. Then Jaime will have to defend Cersei's honor.
Yeah.
Brienne is pledged to protect all the Stark women. So she's going to have to kill Jaime, who she loves, to protect Arya using the sword Jaime gave her, named Oathkeeper.
Hey.
Think about that.
Hey. And then Peter Dinklage ends up on the throne.
That's a very real possibility, and that would certainly fit the narrative of never saw that coming, wouldn't it?
It would be good, though. He isn't sitting on it. He's standing on it. And he's draped in all his lace and fineness, and he winks at the camera, and you go, and then it goes black.
Yeah, he's a great actor, too.
Or there's a dragon's head in the window kind of going,
Well, today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is focused on another thing that happens tomorrow, Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday eating restrictions. But you know, I'm a lifelong Southern Baptist, and I don't recall there being any restrictions on Palm Sunday dinner or even Lent. We didn't do Lent, but I know you're a former Catholic altar boy. So, first of all, tell me about the experience of being an altar boy. What was that like?
You know, it's so funny the way you say that, because I run into a lot of guys that go, a Catholic, are you an altar boy? They go, yep. I said, oh, wow, man, there were a lot of us. It was something I always wanted to do. It was something to learn the Latin, because then the Mass was in Latin. So as a kid, you really had to learn, Ad Deum, Quili Deificat, Juventutem Eam.
Wow.
I can still recite a lot of it. That's weird. I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember some of the Mass in Latin. And then it was just, you know, it was someplace to go where adults were in charge, and I kind of appreciated that at the time when I was a little kid. But as far as restrictions, no, I think, maybe we had ham or something, or a more expensive cut of meat than round steak, maybe. Or
what did you give up for Lent?
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Chocolate?
I doubt it. Because the money was coming, man. But I don't remember. All I remember was Friday and fish sticks when you're a Catholic, because you didn't eat meat until the Pope's encyclical, I think in the, early 70s?
80s.
Was it 80s?
83, yep.
See, that's how long I've been a backslid Catholic. I'm a Romitarian Baptocostal. No.
Well, now, some people eat figs on Palm Sunday because it's said that Jesus snacked on figs as he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, actually, I know that figs were a big part of society then, and it was also part of one of his parables, too. So I could see the wisdom in that, but I don't like figs. Mm. Even when we were in Israel, and they had stacks of them everywhere. People go, you've got to eat these figs. I go, no, I don't. I don't. And they go, but these are not. I go, they still taste like a fig Newton without the cookie around it, to me.
But the big thing on Lent, correct me if I'm wrong, was that you don't eat meat on Fridays, right?
Right. Well, no, that was every Friday we didn't eat meat.
I see. So what did your mother substitute for the flesh of mammals or fowl?
Fish sticks.
Yeah.
And that is what, well, when we lived in the mountains, we had a lot of trout anyway. We had a lot of deer meat and trout when we lived in Oregon. So I had fish anyway all the time. But I think that's why fish sticks were invented. I look it up. I think that's why Gorton's, whoever came out with those things, because the Catholics needed something fish that the kids would eat and you could stomach with a little bit of tartar sauce eat meat on Friday. So look it up. I think that's where fish sticks came to be, and they weren't really very good, were they?
Yeah, nah. What about shellfish? Shrimp? Did your mom ever fix that?
It's so funny. When I was a kid, we lived in the mountains, and the only shrimp I saw were those little cocktail shrimp in cans.
Uh-huh.
You know, you drain the water out, and I go, gosh, shrimp are so little. And then I get to Texas, and I go, these are huge.
Yeah, then you move down to Texas, and they are gigantic.
You know, 20 years ago, Bev and I were up in Maine, and we sat down at a dock somewhere on the water. I said, I'm going to get some fried shrimp. And they brought these little bitty tiny things out, and I went, oh.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I hear Jimmy Buffett telling us it's time to two-step our way out of here for another week. I love you, pal. Give our best to your bride, and get out there and clean out that smoker, will you?
Oh, that one. Yeah. I forgot about the other one, yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.